Big Z Sports, we're now joined by Tony Grossi, Cleveland Browns analyst for ESPN Cleveland. He's a voter for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Follow him on Twitter, too, for great stuff. It's at Tony Grossi. Tony, thanks for taking the time out. Listen, we'll get right to it. It's been close to 2 weeks now since the Browns ruled headlines on a Friday, acquiring Jarvis Landry, Tyrod Taylor, and Demarius Randall, and that Randall trade getting rid of quarterback DeShone Kizer. Did that maybe surprise you a little, Tony, that they kind of gave up on DeShone Kizer early like that after one 0-16 season?
It did. Of all the moves they made on that hectic weekend, that was the most surprising to me. I just thought that Kizer's skill set, you know, his size and his big arm, fell in line with what John Dorsey, the GM, likes and what the new coordinator, Todd Haley, likes. So I was a little surprised by that, but apparently they really like the defensive back, Randall, who they will move to free safety, and it was enough, you know, to get him in the trade for kind of a low price in draft picks for a fourth rounder and a seventh rounder. So, I was surprised overall on the Kizer move.
And, of course, we love that the Browns are being active, the other two additions there, and then Carlos Hyde now, too. It already looks like a different offense, Tony.
Yeah, it's changed. It needs to be a different offense. I think what the Browns and Dorsey are doing is, you know, knocking off some major needs in free agency, at the same time populating the roster with older players, more experienced players, but not overly, you know, old. And that'll help in just about every position group. But I think it's narrowing their draft priorities coupled with the players they picked up in free agency.
Hey, Tony, I think we all thought maybe it was a foregone conclusion that A.J. McCarron would be in a Cleveland Browns uniform, especially since mid-year last year, the whole trade that didn't go down at the last second. You surprised that maybe he went elsewhere?
Well, yeah, that was probably my second surprise of everything they did. Although I know the Browns did have interest in Tyrod Taylor a year ago, but he was never made a free agent by the Bills last year. And I think a couple things appealed to the Browns with Tyrod Taylor over A.J. McCarron. Primarily, they know what they're getting. They're getting a proven starting quarterback who has won in difficult circumstances in Buffalo. They like his mobility. He's a lot more mobile than A.J. McCarron has shown in his brief time on the field. And I think they do like the fact that he's under contract for 1 year, and they don't really have to do anything just now on that contract, and I don't think they will. They want to win. They want that position to change the culture immediately in the locker room and start winning. And although Hugh Jackson probably thinks A.J. McCarron could do that also, I think they just felt as an organization more confident that Tyrod Taylor can affect games more easily than A.J. McCarron can.
And Tony, you know what? You made a great point, Tyrod coming in on that one-year deal, and you look at all this money that's being spent on these free agent quarterbacks, maybe it, I don't want to say a discount, but if the Browns went after A.J., they probably would have had to spend a little bit more.
Well, you know, it turned out the Bills got him for 2 years at a relatively cheap deal. Tyrod Taylor comes to the Browns at a price tag of $16 million for the 2018 season, which isn't out of line for a guy with a lifetime winning record. It's probably middle of the pack for starting quarterbacks. But A.J. would have come cheaper, but I just don't think the Browns, particularly Dorsey and his associates, felt that he fit, you know, all the boxes, filled all the boxes they wanted filled at that position.
Tony, you said $16 million for Tyrod Taylor this year. Heck, we paid somebody that last year for not even to be on our roster, right?
Brock not Osweiler. Play, right, yeah. It's ironic that number is the same as the Brock Osweiler salary.
So, yeah.
Now it comes off the books.
Yeah, there you go. Joe Thomas, Tony, I want to bring that up. Your thoughts there. I really thought he may come back for one more year, especially after the Browns were so active even before he announced his retirement. And who knows, maybe the Browns organization knew before they were so active on that Friday and in free agency. But I really thought he'd come back. He had one more year left on his deal.
Well, I was not surprised by this one. And I don't think the Browns were held up in any way. I think they were informed quite a bit ago, maybe as long ago as a month ago.
Wow.
Joe really was talking like he was going to retire even before that elbow or triceps tendon injury in the, seventh game. I had heard him almost every week consistently talk about how difficult it was for him to get on the field on Sundays. You know, he barely practiced in those first 6 weeks. He didn't practice hardly at all in training camp. So I didn't think he was going to even come back had the injury not occurred. And he later said on his podcast that he considered it almost lucky that that triceps tendon snapped, because he feared he was going to not make it through the year as it was. You know, he's had knee and back injuries that he's really hid from the public and from most of his teammates, I guess, because on Sundays he was still able to play at a high level. But I think the Browns were well aware of his intentions, no matter what they were saying.
Yeah, Tony, I mean, if he was banged up, obviously, he hit it well, 10,363 consecutive snaps, you know. I mentioned you are a voter for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. First ballot Hall of Famer, Joe Thomas?
Well, I would think so. To me, it's a no-brainer. In 5 years, he'll come up for election. And what really matters, though, is whether you get in the first year is what the rest of the field looks like on that particular year. You know, the 15 modern era finalists that we meet on the day before the Super Bowl. We got to cut 15 all qualified to make the Hall of Fame. Got to cut it from 15 to 5. And then there's a couple senior nominees, you know, that are exempt from that particular cut down. So, you know, I don't know what the field is going to look like 5 years from now in 2023, but to me, I can't, you know, I've called Joe, I believe, is the greatest left tackle in Cleveland Browns history. And the Browns have a couple tackles in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And I think Joe is better, as exemplified by the fact that he made the Pro Bowl 10 years in a row, his first 10 years in the league, and was all pro on seven of those years. That surpasses the record of a lot of offensive linemen. So if he's the greatest of his era, he certainly is with the greatest of all time.
We're joined by Tony Grossi on 99.9 WTUZ, Big Z Sports, Cleveland Browns analyst for ESPN Cleveland. Tony, a couple draft questions for you real quick. At number one, it seems like we already mentioned, Tyrod, the one-year deal, the signing of running back Carlos Hyde. It seems like all signs are pointing to quarterback at one. Any way possible that they don't take quarterback at one?
I would say there's no way possible. I think it's sealed that they are taking a quarterback, and I think by the end of this week, when they're finished with their private workouts with all four of the top quarterback prospects, I think when they come home, they will know exactly who they're taking at number one. I consider Sam Darnold of USC the front runner, but they still have to finish off a couple private workouts with Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen. And I won't say it's in the bag, but I think it's Darnold's job to lose. And I don't know if he can lose it after he had a pretty good workout for the Browns and a nice pro day for everyone else.
Yeah, a pro day in the rain too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that was to his benefit, because I thought he was able to show things that maybe coaches had concerns about, you know, the ball security and all that. And although he wasn't under any defensive pressure, I thought he threw, everyone felt he threw the ball pretty well under those wet conditions.
Hey, Tony, I'm sure you know, last time the top three picks in an NFL draft were quarterbacks was 1999. Tim Couch, Donovan McNabb, and then Akili Smith. Does it happen again this year, you think, at 2 and 3, the Giants and the Jets?
Well, you know, the Giants just made a trade. They traded their defensive end, JPP, Pierre Paul.
Yeah, I just saw that.
To Tampa Bay. I had already mocked Bradley Chubb to the Giants in one of my mock drafts. I think that this changes that that order a little bit because although you might think that the Giants would trade down or take a quarterback, historically they favor the pass rusher there, and I think they've recommitted to Eli Manning. They have a second-year quarterback, Davis Webb, who you know, they really haven't given a chance to. I think there's a good chance they stay put and take the defensive end, Bradley Chubb.
Yeah, and maybe that trade that you mentioned right there, Tony, points to that. And I mean,
yeah,
and the Jets trade, that's all about quarterback right there.
Yes. Yeah, and, you know, Buffalo still wants to move up into the top five with the Giants. I thought the Giants was a possibility of trading down, but now I'm you know, I'm hedging on that some, but the quarterbacks still will go pretty high. I'm not sure they're going to go 1, 2, 3. I've even seen some mocks where they have them going 1, 2, 3, 4 with the Browns trading down a little bit. I don't know about that, but I think we're going to see those top four quarterbacks definitely go in the top 10.
So the way it sounds now, Tony, at least from you, Barkley could be there at 4 when the Browns do pick again. Chance they'll pass on him twice there?
Yeah, I think that's going to happen. I think that will disappoint a lot of Browns fans if it does. I think it'll draw some criticism nationally if they pass on Barkley twice. But I just don't think that John Dorsey believes that running backs should be taken that high. I think he's you know, abiding by the running back by committee approach. And he's picked up Carlos Hyde to go with Duke Johnson. I think he does intend to draft a running back, but I don't think it's going to come at number 4. So it's going to be a bold move, and he's going to get some backlash if he passes on Barkley. But I right now I would say it's going to happen.
Wow. And listen, we know the Browns' history and the drafts. Trade down a possibility from 4. I don't want to see him trade out of the top 10, though.
Yeah. I always thought there was a possibility of moving down, you know. But when the Jets traded up from 6 to 3, I thought that took away a possible trade partner for the Browns because going from 4 to 6, I think Dorsey could swallow that without a problem. But the farther he goes, the steeper the price, and the tougher it's going to be for him to drop down. Buffalo, again, is a key team trying to move up, but they're at number 12 right now. I can't see the Browns going from 4 to 12, that passing up 8 pretty good players or 7 pretty good players. I just don't see that happening. So unless Buffalo can do yet another trade from 12 to, say, 8, and then try to make a pitch for the Browns, I think there's a good chance the Browns stay at 4. Or if Denver, for some reason, wants to go from 5 to 4 to assure them of taking a quarterback and nobody else trading with the Browns, I can easily see them, accepting a draft pick to move down one spot because he's still going to get his player. But I don't see him going very far down.
Yeah, especially not to that 12 spot. Please don't trade with Buffalo there.
Yeah, I would think that's not going to happen. I mean, it's just not the right year for that. They don't need any more picks. There's no reason to stockpile into next year. They're finally in win now mode, and I think at number 4, whoever they select, that's a player that could start for them right away.
All right, Tony Grossi, we're definitely in draft mode, but still have like a month to go, so.
Yeah, and we'll be going strong every day until then.
You better believe
it. Never end.
You better believe that. That's Tony Grossi, Cleveland Browns analyst for ESPN Cleveland. Like I said, voter for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Find him on Twitter, too, at Tony Grossi. Tony, that's a lot of great stuff. We appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for having me.